And now here is your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely Sunday. We also hope you can join us over the course of the hour, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're encouraging your participation in every way possible. Please make note of these two numbers. That's the way to get in touch with us here on the show. That's 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we still have a toll free number. That is 866-798-8. Questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. It's always best to call in soon. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded at the end of the show and we don't like to leave anybody hanging. So give us a call as soon as you can with a question or answer. We'll be giving you questions momentarily. I also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So that is mindsovermatter1@.org. And of course, the lovely and talented Debbie, who is in the studio all by herself tonight, because we're all on Zoom, will be putting up the podcast also at kalw.org. And it'll be there in a lot of other places too, but start with KALW, please. All right. All that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace finally accomplished a Netflix binge watch and is therefore one sourdough loaf from being ready for quarantine to be over.
That's right. I finally did a binge watch. I saw The Umbrella Academy, which was great. Do stuff. So come on, vaccine. All right. So Cameron Shaw doesn't want anyone to be jealous, but Publishers Clearinghouse has informed her that she may already be a winner.
Good for you.
True. I didn't think those were sent out anymore, but sounds like they are. All right. If Trump is a, quote, perfect physical specimen, then our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, must be the new Charles Atlas.
All right. That is us. And we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. Sorry, I have to put down the intro and put up my questions again. All right. There we go. I'm going to give you a description. I just want you to tell me the celebrity who holds a patent for that.
Just to jump in, this celebrity could be dead or alive, I'm assuming, correct?
Yes. And in fact, most are dead, but not all.
Okay.
All right. So I'll give you eight. So get ready to write. The first is an apparatus for propelling a user in an underwater environment. That's the first one. Apparatus for propelling a user in an underwater environment. The second one is improved bucket seat. An improved bucket seat for a car. Communication system using carrier waves for remote control. So a secret communication system using carrier waves for remote control. The next one is a curvy purple keytar with two spikes on the end. A curvy purple keytar, that is a keyboard guitar, with two spikes on the end. Next one, drumhead tensioning device and method. Drumhead tensioning device and method. Creating anti-gravity illusion. A method and means for creating an anti-gravity illusion. I'll do a cardiac pulse rate monitor. And finally, accordion-shaped ashtray. This person has a patent for an accordion-shaped ashtray.
I've been informed that we're cutting out just a little bit. So if you want to repeat that question quickly,
sure.
Just to make sure everybody has. If ask us to repeat anything, okay? Go ahead, Kara.
Okay, so I have some descriptions of patents held by celebrity. Want to know the name of the celebrity, and the patents I've given you are apparatus for propelling a user in an underwater environment, improved bucket seat, secret communication system using carrier waves for remote control, a curvy purple keytar with two spikes on the end, a drumhead tensioning device and method, a method and means for creating anti-gravity illusion, a cardiac pulse rate monitor, and finally, an accordion-shaped ashtray. So I'll give you each two if you want to.
Cameron, you want to go?
Sure. I'm going to just take some guesses. Is the curvy purple keytar Prince?
Who else could that be? It is Prince, absolutely.
Good job. So happy. Okay. And is the anti-gravity illusion David Copperfield?
That is a good guess. It is not David Copperfield. And in fact, I have some magician patents on here, but there are no magicians on the list that I just gave you.
Good to know. Okay.
Is the underwater device to propel, is that Jacques Cousteau?
Our winner who did the underwater environment apparatus.
And the device that uses carrier waves, is that Hedy Lamarr?
Yes, it is.
All right. Good. All right. Okay. And Cameron, you go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I have get my list question out of the way as well. Inspired by the last time I was on with the cats, I have a list of actresses who have played witches, and I'm going to tell you the name of the actress, and I would like you to tell me what movie, and if you can get it, what part they. Angela Lansbury, Lena Horne, Jean March, Tilda Swinton, Angelica Houston, and Imelda Staunton. I'll read them one more time. These are actresses who have played witches, and I want to know the movie. Billy Burke, Angela Lansbury, Lena Horne, Jean March, Tilda Swinton, Angelica Houston, and Imelda Staunton. I'll give you each one. How about?
Kara, do you want to go?
Fantastic. Then I'll go with that one.
Okay. Excellent job.
Well, Billy Burke, of course, is Glinda the Good Witch in The Wizard of Oz.
Yes. Excellent.
And Lena Horne, she's the Wiz, right? Is she Glinda the Good Witch in The Wiz?
She is also Glinda the Good Witch in The Wiz.
All right. There you go.
Are we taking a second one? Or
no, Dana stole a second one. But sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sure, you can have a second one.
Well, I just want to, is Angelica Houston the witch in Matilda?
No, she is not.
Okay, all right.
And that are still out there.
Okay, the ones that are still out there are Jean March, Tilda Swinton, Angelica Houston, and Imelda Staunton.
I'm sorry, by Matilda, I of course meant the witches. Is she the witch in The Witches?
You are correct. She is the right. Grand witch in The Witches.
Yeah, I should go with the more appropriately named Roald Dahl. All right.
And, okay. I'm sorry if we're not coming through well. I'm informed that sound quality is not great tonight. I apologize for that. Uh, Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes,
yeah,
I can hear you.
I'm losing you about every minute and a half. You go away for 15 seconds, so bear with me.
Oh, all right.
I didn't hear you. Did you say Hedy Lamarr on the inventions?
Hedy Lamarr was the carrier waves. That was my guess.
Yeah. You faded on that point. And on the Angelica Houston, it was called the Witches of, was it Eastbrook or something with Jack Nicholson? I think that was it, that movie.
Yes, you basically got
it. I lost you there again.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my question. It's a movie question. Can you name me at least five movies in which John Wayne died?
Yes. Sands of Iwo Jima.
Right.
The Cowboys.
Right.
Let's see. Let me think just for a minute here. On in his career. Oh, The Shootist.
Right.
What else? It seems like most of them tend to be in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s.
Did he die? Can I jump in for a sec?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think he died in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
That's good. That's with an asterisk because he dies off screen.
You're right. It's been a long
good.
Time.
Seeing that, good. But... Okay. Are you still there?
I couldn't hear you there. You disappeared for 15 seconds.
I'm sorry. That's four.
After Liberty Valance, did you say anything?
No.
Okay.
So we just need one more, correct?
Sure. That's good.
Because you asked for five. And let me think now. 50s. Go ahead. I can.
Okay. Are you still there?
Are you there? Go ahead.
Yeah. Now I am. You're dying on me every day. The Alamo.
Oh, The Alamo, of course.
Okay.
Great.
And the other ones would be he was killed by a giant squid in Reap the Wild Wind. And in the Fighting Seabees, he also died from Japanese fire. In the Sea Chase with Lana Turner, there's a big explosion. You don't know if they live or not, but you assume they did. And in his early career, before he ever made he was an extra, there were a couple of movies where he died. But basically, that's it. Did you hear me? Because I can't
hear
you.
Yes, I heard you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right. You got a real problem there with the volume. Okay, system. Okay, bye. No.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's see what we can do. All right, let me give you a couple of questions here. Since everybody's giving list questions, I'll give a list question too. Let's see. Of the 20 best-selling children's books of all time, what seven on that list are over 100 years old?
Okay. Go ahead, Kira.
What about Pinocchio?
Pinocchio is one. Yes.
Okay. I'll go with The Wizard of Oz.
There. I hope you can hear me. I'll repeat it again. Of the 20 best-selling children's books of all time, what seven are over 100 years old? And we have The Adventures of Pinocchio. That was gotten. That's 1881. What are the other six on?
The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
That is not on the list either.
Really? Kind of list of those.
All right. Let me give you a shorter question. I can't remember if I asked this last week or not, which shows my short-term memory problem. What is the only Yeah, very good. Woo. Good job. Good job on that. All right. I'll give you a similar question then. What is the only primetime network TV show with a colon in the title?
Oh, Mission Impossible.
Yeah. All right. So back to the children's book question. Of the 20 best-selling children's books of all time, what seven are over 100 years old? So far, we have The Adventures of Pinocchio, which is 1881. And I'm sorry for the sound quality tonight. I don't know what the problem is. We'll Hello? It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
Oh, my.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, we can just do a little coffee clutch here, just on our own.
I guess so. All right, Cameron, why don't you do a question?
Okay. What?
That's Psycho, right?
Oh, yeah, you got it. Too easy. Good. Okay, I have another in the same, well, not really the same vein, vaguely similar. What was the first horror film to be nominated for Best Picture Oscar?
Well, The Exorcist?
Yeah, 1974. Nice job.
All right. So let's do this. I want everybody to call in, and we'll put each of us one at a time. Cameron, we'll start with you. You call the studio. We'll do it, and we'll see if we can do it that way. Okay?
Getting off the Zoom, yeah.
All right. Okay. To stay on the Zoom for now, but call in too.
Okay.
We'll see what we can do. Folks, I hope you can still hear us. We're going to try to rectify this a little.
I can give you a short question.
All right, go ahead and do that.
But only you will hear, perhaps. What does the word gentacular mean? And that's spelled J-E-N-T-A-C-U-L-A-R, gentacular.
Gentacular. Is the J-E-N, is that the, well, relation to generic or
no, it's a J, not a G.
Oh, J. I'm sorry.
J.
I'm here now, guys. Hi.
All right. Hi.
All right. Well, I'm going to go call in now while you discuss gentacular. Cameron, I just asked what the word gentacular means, and that's spelled J, not G, but J-E-N-T-A-C-U-L-A-R.
Wow. Gosh, I'm not entirely sure. And this is excellent radio. gentacular, okay.
All right. Okay. Can we take a call, Debbie? Is that possible? Can you hear us? Hello? No? Yes? No?
She said yes in the chat.
All right. All right. So let's call the Zoom meeting number then. We have that. So give me a second. Okay. All right. I have to get that meeting number. Sorry about this, everybody, if you can hear me. Let me see if I can find it. I hate leaving dead air. Kira, just give a question. Give another question while I'm doing this.
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, if you're looking for another question, I can't remember if I asked this a couple weeks ago. What is the most common title of a Billboard Hot 100 hit? This title has been used 16 different times for 16 different songs, all of which have been on the Billboard Hot 100. It hit number one and number two for two different girl groups, both in 1990. So what is the most common title of a Billboard Hot 100 hit, and what two artists had the highest peaking hits with this title? Two different girl groups had these highest peaking hits in the year 1990. And earlier I asked what Gentacular like meant, Gentacular.
Debbie, would you please send me the number for Zoom? I don't have the actual phone number to call in on. I don't think I have that on Zoom. Let's see. All right. Okay, let's give it a try. Can we take a call?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. This is Chris from New York.
Hi, Chris. I'm sorry about that.
Hey. Oh, that's okay. No problem. I have one guess and I have one question. On your children's books question, I'm not sure if this is more than 100 years old, but how about The Jungle Book?
Oh.
No, not The Jungle Book. Can you hear me? It's not
yes,
The Jungle
Yes,
Book.
I can. Yes, I can hear you.
All right.
All right. Well, I have a question for you all. If I say the name Mike Post, you probably know who that is, just in case you don't, he's a well-known composer of TV theme music.
Right.
But
the Law and Order guy.
What's that? Yes, the Law and
the
Order.
The Law and Order guy, right?
Yes, yes, that's right. Yes, yes, among other things. But he also produced the second most recent studio album by a well-known rock band. So my question is, which rock band?
Hmm.
Is this going to have a cultural or a current tie-in and be like Van Halen or something like that?
It is exactly Van Halen, yes, that's correct.
Oh, wow. All right.
Oh, of course. Okay.
Which album was that? Which album was the second album?
It was their second most recent album. It was called Van Halen 3. I think it was actually their least, least commercially successful album. It's the album that had Gary Cherone as the lead singer. He was only on that album, only on that Van Halen album.
All right. Well, interesting, though. I guess so, maybe he should have added more chunk chunks to it, and then
maybe
perhaps it would have sold a little better.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You should have maybe stuck to the type of music he knew better. All right. Well, thanks to all of you, and I wish you all the best with the rest of the show.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate
I think
it.
We need it.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Megan in San Francisco.
Hi.
I have a couple guesses on the children's book. How about Peter Pan?
Not Peter Pan.
Huh. Okay. Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland, yes. Very good.
All right. And then we've had a couple good elevation questions over the last couple weeks, so I'm going to riff on that. What are the highest and lowest elevation state capitals in the United States and the highest and lowest world elevation world capitals?
State capital, is that Denver?
Denver is actually number three. Despite the Mile High name, there are two cities higher.
Is Santa Fe one of them?
Santa Fe is exactly number one at 7,260 feet.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I'm sorry, give me the rest of your question again, would you mind?
The lowest state capital and then the highest and lowest elevation world capital cities.
So is the lowest state capital actually below sea level?
Well, we're going to call that a draw. It's at sea level.
So, for instance, Tallahassee, Florida?
I have Tallahassee at 203 feet above sea level.
Oh, okay. All right.
How about Honolulu?
Honolulu is exactly correct at zero.
Good.
at sea level.
Okay.
Good job. And the highest world capital...
Would that be Nepal, maybe? Or in Nepal?
Yeah, Kathmandu.
Is not in Asia.
Oh, what about Lesotho? Because that one's high up.
Sorry?
Is it in Lesotho? I don't actually know the capital of that, but I know it is up in the mountains. In Africa? It's a little tiny country in South Africa? No. Okay.
Is it in Bolivia, by any chance?
It is, in fact, La Paz.
La Paz. Okay. Good.
Okay.
Good. So I'm sorry. What are we missing? What are we missing?
The lowest elevation world capital city.
Lowest elevation. What part of the world is it in, generally speaking?
Let's call it not the Americas.
Is it on an island?
Is it or something like that?
Oh, is it the capital of the Maldives?
No.
Okay.
Is it an island, though?
It is not an island.
Okay.
Huh.
So it's not an island. Huh.
Is it perhaps somewhere in the Middle East?
Close by. We'll call it Eurasia without giving too many hints. It's close to a body of water, if that helps.
Not Eurasia. You mean like not Minsk?
Is it Dhaka, Bangladesh?
No.
Okay.
Is it just because it's been in the news recently? Is it the capital of Azerbaijan? I don't know what the capital of Azerbaijan is.
It is in fact Baku, the capital of Azerbaijan, sitting 92 feet below sea level.
Wow.
Okay. So I don't. Know One of only two capital cities with an elevation below sea level. The other being Amsterdam. So give yourself a bell.
Did we still need the lowest state capital? We still need that?
No,
the Honolulu.
Got it.
We got it.
Honolulu.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a good night.
All right. You too. And, I forgot whose turn it was. But if you don't mind, I'll do a quick question here.
Sure.
All right. What were the last three Alfred Hitchcock films in a row to have an I in the title?
The letter I, or the, I guess?
The letter I. What were the last three Alfred Hitchcock films in a row? They have to be in a row.
Is one of them The Birds?
One of them is The Birds.
Okay. Is one of them Vertigo then?
No.
Okay.
But one of them is The Birds. You're right about that.
Is that the first one? Chronologically?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Oh, God, I don't...
Well, think it over.
I'm thinking it over. I don't know what directly succeeded that. Okay.
And, again, our apologies out there for the sound quality tonight. That's what happens sometimes on Zoom.
How about Vertigo? Was that after The Birds?
And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Our panel tonight, that's Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, Kira Pace, technical editor. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Feel free to give us a call. We'll try to take as many as we can. And let's go to a call now. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I think this is, I'm next, maybe.
Yes. Okay. Yes, you are.
Sorry, I could kind of hear on the, I turned my radio down, so I can't tell. So I have an answer to the actresses who have played witches.
Yeah.
I think you guys already said Angela Lansbury was Bedknobs and Broomsticks, but Jean Marsh has played a couple of witches. She's played Queen Basmorda in Willow.
And then you know, I wasn't sure if I would qualify her as a witch, but you're right that she did play. It was a borderline one for me. You're right.
She was casting spells. The Return to Oz, she was Princess Moby, and so she was, okay, that one.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of. You got it.
Okay. And then do you guys have time for, this one might be quick if I tell it right, the question, but is that okay if I do one?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so... I'm going to list some euphemisms for the same thing, but they're all different from different countries. So one is the good calf. One is, and that's Irish. One is golden feet, and that's Swedish. These are all the same thing. From Laplandia, there's old man in the fur coat. In Welsh, called honey pig. And then I have two more. It's called honey eater in Russian. And this is another Swedish one, but 12 men's strength. So what are these all the same? Sorry, I'm not telling this right.
12 men what?
12 men's strength.
Strength.
Is this some sort of folk figure, or is this an action, would you say? Or, I mean, something like that.
I think I'll give you guys a big clue. It's an animal.
Oh, it's okay. All right. An imaginary animal or a real animal?
A real animal. It's like a euphemism for it. So, like, if somebody didn't want to say... like Satan, they would say the devil, or I can't remember what else. Like, or
right.
So, is this just a generic animal, like a bear, or is it a specific animal? Like,
it's a bear. It's a bear.
It is a bear. Okay.
Yep. Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. If you'd like to join us, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Cameron, do you have a question?
Sure. On a film set, last and second to last shots commonly referred to as. So there's a special name for when you're shooting a movie, doing the last shot of the film. Not the last shot of the film, but the last shot of the shoot. And then
is that like martini or something like that?
Sorry?
Is it martini? It's like a martini
shot?
Yes,
the last shot is the martini shot.
Because you cut out, I'm sorry, is at the bar.
Was that correct?
Yeah, she said it was correct.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Sweet.
So we still need the name for the first shot, correct?
No, for the second to last shot.
Second to last shot. Okay, so the second to last shot and the last shot.
Yeah, so the last shot is a martini.
Right. Okay. All right, we can leave that out.
Okay.
And need any questions that haven't been answered yet. Cameron, we'll start with you.
Okay. I have actresses who have played witches in movies. The ones that I have out are Tilda Swinton and Imelda Staunton. And that's all I have at the moment.
All right. And Kira.
Okay. So I have a description of a patent that is held by a celebrity, and I want you to tell me the celebrity that holds that patent. The ones that I have left are an apparatus for propelling a user in an underwater environment, and I gave you a clue that that person is an Oscar winner. Next, I have improved bucket seat, like for a car. The next one is a drumhead tensioning device and method. That is also an Oscar winner. The next is a cardiac pulse rate monitor. The next is a method and means for creating anti-gravity illusion. And finally, an accordion-shaped ashtray.
Is the heart rate monitor, is that a comedian by any chance?
It is a comedian.
Is it Jerry Lewis?
It is not Jerry Lewis. I also asked what the word gentacular, gentacular, means. And I asked what the most common title of a Billboard Hot 100 hit is. There are two artists who had the highest peaking hits with those titles. They were both in 1990. One girl group hit number one, another girl group hit number two with songs that have this title. So what is the most common title of a Billboard Hot 100 hit?
All right. And I have, let's see, a couple questions out. What are the last three Alfred Hitchcock films in a row? Remember, they have to be in a row to have a I someplace in the title. So what are the last three Hitchcock films? One of them. What are the other two? Of the 20 best-selling children's books of all time, 7 are over 100 years old. So what are the 7 that are over 100 years old of the 20 best-selling children's books of all time? So far we have Alice in Wonderland, The Adventures of Pinocchio. All right. And let's go to a call. We can. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me, Tom? Yeah.
Okay, yes. Yeah, it's dropping out a little bit from time to time.
All right.
Okay, anyway, Tilda Swinton is Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yes.
Good.
The White Witch. Excellent.
And Imelda Staunton, I think, is in Harry Potter, isn't she?
She is. Do you know which Harry Potter?
I have no idea. I'll say I have no idea.
That's okay. I'll give it to you. It's Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, which is number 5. She plays the bad guy. So,
Professor Umbridge. And Angelica Houston, I think, also in the Addams Family. I don't know if she was a witch.
Yeah, I don't know if she'd be categorized as a witch either. I thought about that as well. But.
Okay. Some of the kids' books, how about Bambi, maybe? No?
No.
Okay. Velveteen Rabbit?
Not Velveteen Rabbit. No.
Peter Rabbit?
Not. Yes. The Tale of Peter Rabbit. Very good. Yes.
Yay. And Peter Pan.
Not Peter Pan.
Not Peter Pan. Okay. Some of the inventions. The improved bucket seat, is that maybe Colonel Sanders?
No, but it actually does make sense. This guy was known for one of the greatest car chases in film history.
Oh, Steve McQueen?
It is Steve McQueen.
That's good.
Amazing. The drumhead tensioning, is that maybe Art Blakey?
No, it is not.
No.
Okay, but I did give a clue earlier. I don't know if you guys could hear me, but an Oscar-winning actor is responsible for the drumhead tensioning device and method.
Oh, J.K. Simmons. I don't know.
That would be awesome, but no.
Okay. The anti-gravity illusion, is that maybe George Lucas?
It's not. This one is not in movies.
Oh. How about Isaac Asimov?
No.
No? Okay. The cardiac rate monitor, is that maybe Kevin Hart?
that is a more emphatic no.
Okay. Did the accordion-shaped ashtray get yes?
Not yet.
Is that Weird Al?
No, that's a great guess, and you are on the right track. It is somebody else known for their accordion.
Oof. Okay. Let's see. I think, and Gentacular doesn't have anything to do with Chippendales.
Right. Not for most.
No. Okay. The Hitchcock Eye, is one of the movies Trouble with Harry?
It is not.
Ah, okay. All right. That's all I got. I'll ask, who was the first person to write, besides Ian Fleming, to write a James Bond novel?
Died?
Hello?
I don't,
yeah,
I don't
I'm sorry. Know. Does this person, can you hear me? Did this person take over writing after Ian Fleming died? Did this person take over the writing of the series?
No, this person just wrote the first one. I think there's been probably 5, 6, 7 of them people writing. Yeah. But this was the first one in 1968, so I'm not actually sure if Fleming was even dead yet.
All right. So somebody like a Clive Cussler or Richard Patterson?
No.
It is an author who's known for other stuff, right?
Yes, yeah. Famous,
a really well-known
author. I will say. Yeah, very well-known.
Oh, is it the guy who wrote Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
Le Carre? Yeah, no.
No, okay.
It's someone who's not known for writing spy novels, though, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Is it someone who's like an author, like a, you know, like a great artist kind of author who dabbled in James Bond?
Yes. Yeah. You could say that. Right. Yeah.
It's like
His
Sylvia Plath, author of the
author.
Bond, but it's not Sylvia
right.
Plath. Like
yeah. No. Nor Ted Stevens. Right.
Go ahead and tell us. Who is it?
Kingsley Amis.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Interesting.
Hey, cool. Thanks. Great show, except for the little
thank
parts
you.
On the show,
thank you for your
chair. Glad we're getting through it.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. And all right. Who has a reasonably short question they'd like to contribute? Cameron?
Sure.
All right.
What was the first Disney animated film to use computer graphics, CGI?
Is this? I think Dana was talking, but you cut out, Dana. I think you're still going.
Sorry. Is this a feature film? Cameron?
It is a feature film. Yes, animated feature film.
All right.
Is this a trick question where you're not actually considering like the modern use of CGI, but rather something like, you know, some sort of computer assistance in like Fantasia or something? Or are we talking like 1990s?
It's earlier than the 90s, but it is
it
not
Tron?
As old as Fantasia.
Tron?
No.
Okay.
It is actually a classically animated Disney movie.
Is it before Tron?
I believe so. What year was Tron? 1984?
Like 1981 or something like that.
It is in the 1980s, early 1980s.
Was Black Cauldron?
No, but you're in the right era of Disney movies.
Is it the other, was it called the Black Hole or something like that?
No. Okay. It's more adorable than the Black Cauldron, or I don't know what the other one you're thinking of is.
How about Pete's? Is it an all animated film?
Yes, it's completely animated.
Like Pete's Dragon or something like that?
It is not partially animated. It's completely animated.
Okay. Hmm.
What about The Rescuers? That was after, I think.
That was after, yeah. No, not The Rescuers, but that's a good movie.
All right. We can leave it out. All right, let's do that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
Very good. Okay, so I have two very quick questions. The first one, it looks like Halloween night, we're going to have a blue moon. Do you know what blue moon means?
Yes, it's the same. It's a full moon twice within the same month.
Okay, so when was the first one? I'll give his answer because the time's short. It was October 1st. October 1st. And the second one, October 31st, was blue moon. Okay, I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that both President Roosevelt and Hoover solicited money from Egypt after the Second World War. But actually, I just found out today that Egypt donated a lot of money to European countries after the First World War as well. So this queen, her name is Queen Elizabeth, sent her foreign minister to Egypt to thank him for millions of dollars they donated to that country. You know what country? So remember, 1918 and Queen Elizabeth. That is a clue.
Right. So, I'm sorry, I'm a little confused here. The Queen Elizabeth sent her foreign secretary
to Egypt.
Foreign secretary to Egypt.
To thank Egypt for the money and other things they donated to this country. So, which country had a queen named Elizabeth?
Well, that would be the Great Britain.
No.
No? Oh, another no. Elizabeth. Okay.
Queen Elizabeth was very young then.
Which European country had
a queen named Elizabeth in 1918 that sent their foreign minister to Egypt to thank him for actually over like several hundred million dollars of food?
I'm sorry, in 1918 money. You said? I'm sorry, yes. I thought you said this was after the Second World War, not the First World War.
No, the first one that when President Hoover and Roosevelt went to Egypt after Second War. But this was after the First War. 1918 was the First War. The First
right.
World War.
I think,
yeah.
I think the Queen of Belgium was named Elizabeth.
That's it? Okay, give yourself a bell, as this other guy say. That's it.
All right.
No, that's a great history. Thank you, guys. Always a good show.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. Let me ask you a quick question. What was the first presidential debate to have the opponents in separate cities, since that's come up as an issue? What was the first presidential debate to actually have the opponents in separate cities?
Was it Nixon-Kennedy?
It was Nixon-Kennedy, yes. The third Nixon-Kennedy debate, they were in separate cities. Very good.
Huh.
All right.
Dana, can I ask you a question about your children's book question?
Yes. Yes.
Are there more of the Beatrix Potter books on your list?
No, there's only the one of Beatrix Potter.
Can I guess one more? How about Winnie the Pooh?
Not Winnie the Pooh. And that's not over 100 years old yet.
Not yet.
So Alice in Wonderland is on the list. What about Through the Looking Glass?
Quickly on the list. No.
Bad news that you cut out for the entire response you just gave.
It's they may have included it with Alice in Wonderland, but it's not specifically on the list. No.
Okay.
As Through the Looking Glass. Oh, and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David from Berkeley.
Hi, David.
Hi. Hitchcock, after the birds, made Marnie and then Torn Curtain, and they all have eyes in them.
Nice.
And I guess that's the only one I got now. The only one left. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
You got a bell. You didn't hear it, but you got that bell.
Yeah.
You got it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yes, the last three Hitchcock films in a row to have an I someplace in the title, The Birds, Marnie, and Torn Curtain. I hope you could hear that. All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Kim in San Francisco. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. is The Petite Prince one of the books?
Ooh. No, that's the best-selling children's book of all time, but it's not over 100 years old.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I was calling because Tilda Swinton is also a witch in Suspiria.
Oh, gosh, you're right, and I had totally forgotten about that in the most recent Suspiria.
Yes.
You're correct. Thank you.
Good job.
And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I stand corrected.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in the Mission. Did anyone get Gentastic yet?
Say it again, please, Mark.
Did anyone get Gentastic yet?
Oh, Gentacular. No, not yet, but hopefully
Gentacular, sorry. Gentacular. Okay, I have three guesses. Jennifer Aniston, something to do with her?
No.
Jennifer Lawrence, something to do with her?
Nope.
How about Jennifer Lopez? No? No?
I sense a theme, Jennifer's theme, but no, it has nothing to do with Jennifer.
Oh, man. I was sure I was right. Okay, that's all I got. Good luck.
Sorry.
Thank you. All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi.
Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie for this is the last time in California.
All right.
Dana, you forgot Family Plot.
yes, but they were...
Nope, try again.
Say that again, Dana.
I said Frenzy was between Family Plot and whatever the one... Yeah, anyway, so there weren't three in a row. That wasn't one of three.
Oh, in a row, okay.
Yep.
All right, I stand corrected. Good night, California, wherever you are. Bye.
All right, thank you. All right. Let's see. Anybody have a very short question? Kira?
Yeah, what's the only number to have all of its letters in alphabetical order? Which I think may have come up on the show before, but I don't remember. Only number to have all of its letters in alphabetical order.
This has come up on the show. This
eight.
Has come up.
No, not eight. Never mind.
40.
Very nice. Nice job, yeah. Greg.
There you go. He's good for something. All right. That's my husband, in case anybody was wondering.
And Dana, you're gone again.
I'm sorry. All right. Kira, say let's go to a call.
All right. Let's go to a call.
All right, there you go.
Good night, Gracie.
Hi, this is Hal. How are you doing?
Hi, Hal. Good.
Sorry you guys are having such a rough night, but it's good to hang in with you. Accordion-shaped ashtray, would that happen to be Lawrence Welk?
It's absolutely correct. Lawrence Welk has a patent for an accordion-shaped ashtray. Nice job.
That's great.
Thanks. And genticular, doesn't that have something to do with early breakfast or before breakfast?
Pertaining to breakfast. So that is correct. Nice job. Gentacular means pertaining to breakfast.
Good.
I'm gonna take one more stab because it sounds familiar. Marlon Brando, he's not who you're looking for the patent for the drum tensioning.
That's right. Well known for his drumming, Marlon Brando had a patent for a drum head tensioning device and method.
Well, he was a big bongo drum player.
Yeah.
So maybe that has something to do with it.
Wow. Yeah, I believe it did, actually. I believe it factors into the lore.
Yeah, that mystique, yes. Yeah, that's all I've got. Thanks for a great show, as always. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you for that very charitable response, Al. All right. Let's see if we can take one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Children's book, is it The Wizard of Oz?
No, The Wizard of Oz is not on that list.
It is more than 100 years old. Okay, thanks.
Oh, thank sorry. You. Dana cut out, but I want to say that perhaps it's because that there was a movie made of The Wizard of Oz, so no one had to read it anymore.
maybe, yeah. All right. Sorry about that if I cut out. Okay, let's get this. Never was I happier to see the end of a show.
I think you're telling us to clean up, Dana, so I'm just going to start reading the stuff I have. Here
right,
is
go.
What is left. If I said Oscar-winning director who had an apparatus for propelling a user in an underwater environment, would that have...
That'd be James Cameron.
Correct. James Cameron, deep sea diver, right. James Cameron. Cardiac pulse rate monitor, Dana, you had it correct that it was a comedian, but you did not guess the correct Marx brother. It was Zeppo.
Yeah, all right.
And not Jerry Lewis, the unsung Marx brother. And finally, the method and means for creating an anti-gravity illusion was Michael Jackson. That 45-degree wing that you see in, like, Smooth Criminal.
Yeah,
he had a patent
criminal.
For that. Oh, and I think that was all I had. Oh, right. The most common title of a Billboard Hot 100 hit is Hold On, which has been on the Hot 100 16 times for 16 different songs, including in 1990 alone, Wilson Phillips and En Vogue, who hit number one and number two, respectively. And that's all I've got.
All right. Cameron?
All right, the only one I have out is what was the first Disney animated film to use CGI? It was The Fox and the Hound in 1981.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Well, if you can hear me, the 20 of the 20 best-selling children's books of all time, the 7 that are over 100 years old.
Oh, the 7 that are over 100
Gables,
years old. There we go.
Black Beauty, Tale of Peter Rabbit, and Wind in the Willows.
Sorry. Can you say the first three again?
Sure. Alice in Wonderland, Adventures of Pinocchio, and Heidi.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you for your patience out there. Thanks to Cameron Shaw.
I'm assuming that Dana is thanking me, too, and thanking all of you for being part of this show, for calling in, and for listening to us all the way to the end.
It.
There we go. Hi, Dana.
All right. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Dana.
All right. Thanks, Cameron. Thanks, Carol.